Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission.
Welcome back to the WFO Life Podcast. Dr. Curtis here, back with Lieutenant Colonel Chris Story. Chris, today I think we were talking about doing a random show. We've been collecting little tidbits of pearls and oddities over the last week or so. I wanted to thank you for covering me while I was out traveling last week. It was a pretty good topic you put out there, a reminder about checking ego and understanding what ego is. So I thought that was a cool episode, and I'm kind of raring to get back into the groove here. How are you today?
Doing great. Just enjoying the challenging but sometimes nice change of seasons up here in the Northeast. You know, you got to take the good with the bad when you live in a place where you could get 2 feet of snow. So it's nice when it, you know, peaks into the 60s and 70s and the flowers start blooming. So it's been a nice transition to spring up here.
Yeah, I guess it could be more rocky and dramatic to change a scene and weather there. In Corpus and in South Texas, it's like we're entering our own right now. It's like the some of the best part of the year, you know, in this area where it's kind of nice temperature-wise. It's not terribly humid and not scalding hot yet. So it's been nice here and enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, like today, we're going to talk about random things that have struck us. But I know, even though most of us spend a lot of time inside, I know when the weather changes and makes you want to spend more time outside, you know, I think it's a good natural change of scenes and thoughts. So it'll be fun to, you know, get out some, you know, random thoughts for the audience.
Sounds good. Well, I think I'm gonna swing first here with a topic I came across that I think this will fall, you know, in our tagline. You know, I always mention sometimes intellectual oddities.
Yeah.
I think that's where this one's going to fall in, but I just want to see what you think about it and
sure.
And see what maybe our listeners think about this. So I read an article the other day that caught my attention. I did post it on the Future Focus Health Network, and the article was talking about a recent genetic breakthrough, I guess you would call it, where, and what the title was, here we are right before the show. I was trying to find the article. Now I've lost the article again. at any rate, the article, and I'll post it in the show notes, was about research going on in China where genetic researchers are putting together embryo tissue from a human in matching that with the embryo tissue of like a monkey, a chimpanzee of some sort. Okay. So what they're doing, they call that chimeric. They're making chimeric two different species into one embryo. They raise these embryos, I guess, in a test tube until they were like 20 something weeks. Okay.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. So tongue in cheek, I basically had made the comment that, well, there we have it. You know, it's the rise of Planet of the Apes. We are now creating Cornelius in a test tube, you know, from one of the leading characters of those, that series of movies that seemed so far-fetched in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Now they're doing it. So where does that strike you?
Well, I think from my background, it's a little scary in a way, because I can't help but think, because of the source, that they're trying to do something. You know, my mind always obviously goes to maybe the worst case scenario with dealing with countries that we don't necessarily trust that much anyway. So my guess would be that, or my fear would be, besides just, you know, devolving into the Planet of the Apes, would be that they're doing some kind of experiments in this way to produce, you know, expendable soldiers, if you will, or to do, you know, some type of, you know, other experiments to benefit their military that we may have to deal with, you know, in our lifetime. So I think that you know, one, there's always the ethical piece of it, right? When you're mixing humans and animals and trying to play God, so to speak. So I think there's a lot of, I guess there could be some good that would come of it. But it seems to me if I'm doing pro and cons and columns, you know, the cons are weighted more heavily in my mind compared to like what good they're going to be getting out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted to bring this up. This is what we started this podcast for, is you and I sitting around banging ideas back and forth and exploring them. Yeah. I kind of hit the first thing that pops into my head as well are the ethical concerns. Where is this going? And the other thing that also pops into my head, do you think that they just stopped at 20 something weeks? No.
No way. They probably
already, hatched Cornelius and might be living in a cage somewhere, So I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I don't think did they stop on purpose at that point, really? Or did they say, well, if we can do it, it's proof that it works. Why wouldn't they go all the way to the birth of a merged species? And, why wouldn't they do that? Now, on the medical side, you mentioned something. You said, well, maybe there's something, maybe there can be some good of it. Well, what they're learning is they're learning the machinery of how genetics work. They're learning how a human body develops, how it how it establishes itself and down to the core structure of how how our machinery of genetic machinery works. Now, if they can, I could see that in the future, if they know how to merge a monkey and a human, then the reality is they probably could adapt.
Grow organs or something.
Could grow clones, definitely. Yeah. They've already can do that. They could grow... they could alter genetics so that a person might be able to select out, certain disease processes they know their family tree is, prone to have. I mean, there's a lot of possibles, that are, I guess, could benefit man. But ethical slippery slope that starts when you're creating species, introducing them into the world or abusing them behind the scenes, or, there's so many, just the rights of a creature or an entity created in that environment. That's what I think about, I think about what is that entity? What is it's a living creature, and what are its rights? And is anyone watching for that? And it's just such a slippery slope. It's a dark place, I think.
My mind immediately goes to once you start introducing the human DNA, and they're obviously learning things about it, but they don't probably understand exactly what that creature is going to be. Right. So what if it ends up having way more of like a human mind? And these things that we, kind of use to separate ourselves from animals, like being self-aware about your environment, right? That's like one of the things, because you look even at the most sophisticated, monkeys and apes, it's like I've heard things where they've gotten to where they can use tools to certain things. So, I was listening to a podcast and they said, I can't remember what species of ape or monkey it is, but it's essentially like, because of their surroundings and because of their intelligence, they've kind of entered the Stone Age. These apes or monkeys were being able to use tools to do things. But I think, once you start introducing the human element to it, you might have a being that, like you were saying, probably they've grown to, be able to hatch or what have you, that is self-aware. It's one thing having, monkeys or other animals used for experiments, because I guess the ethical benefit outweighs the risk, right? Because you still have something that doesn't know what the difference of being in a cage or being in its own, environment that it can control and develop. But once you put like a human potentially brain, where this creature is self-aware of, all the things that we're aware of as humans, then, do you just like kill that creature when you're done with the experiment?
Well,
do you,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so then it becomes like dark, like you were, like we were both kind of alluding to earlier. It's like, you know, you kind of, you know, extrapolate that out, you know, as they get better at keeping these things alive. And then now you have all these like humanoid things that are aware that they're, you know, being experimented on and locked in cages, you know, so it's terrifying.
Yeah. That's the part that's really scary. And, you know, there's all kinds of, you can, there's a Netflix, series, or no, it's not a series, there's a Netflix documentary that talks about how mainstream genetic engineering is now becoming, and there are kits you can buy in the dark web that will deliver gene splicing material to your house.
Jeez.
And you can do genetic manipulation and embryo creation in your own garage. And they actually interview people that are doing this. And they're basically taking things like one of the guys they interviewed was taking this genetic splicing material in his garage, literally.
Yeah.
He was taking sperm from his dogs. Like, I guess he raises some breed of dog, and he's mixing something with a glow in the dark sea anemone. And he's trying to make puppies that glow in the dark. And you think that's crazy. That happens, though. They can do it. Then they have lots of animals that do this. Jeez. And that kind of stuff is so just and this is not a scientist. This is not some government. This is a dude in suburbia that read a few books and got his genetic material on the dark web. And he's creating new species in his garage.
Well, you know, and that's
where are we going?
Well, so that's nuts. But then, you know, going back to, you know, your example and, you know, talking about China doing it, think about when you have a motivated government with a lot of resources and actual scientists. You know, I can't help but think that beyond the health benefits of it, that they're trying to, you know, maybe make their soldiers resistant to, you know, chemical and biological weapons. They're trying to make people that can stay up all day and night and not have to recover. Sure. Like, you know, so I think that, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, geopolitical ramifications. You know, it's one thing when a crazy dude is trying to get glowing puppies to pop out of his garage, but it's another thing when, you know, people that maybe across from us on the battlefield are developing, you know, crap from a movie, you know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, and then you could put like, you know, then you're like in Terminator, you know, it's like if you can do that, then they can, you know, I've already, you know, heard about Elon Musk of all people, who I normally like and approve of, about, you know, melding computers into our own, you know, brains so that we can, you know, have, you know, the entire internet like fused into our brain and be able to use it on command. And so then you have like cybernetic organisms and you're in Terminator, you know? So it's crazy.
So if you think our intellectual oddity today is just Chris and I making stuff up here, check out the Netflix show called Unnatural Selection. It's a documentary from 2019. So check that out.
For sure.
All right, Chris, your turn. What you got on deck there?
So I think mine is a little more, I would say, normal. About it. Okay. I do appreciate you know, philosophizing on the oddities, though. That's fun. But you know, as I kind of wind down my time in the current job I have, and go to start another one, which is kind of the unique thing about being in the military. It's it can be stressful, but it's cool, you know, where, you know, you might move from one job to another just a couple years apart. And even though, you know, I've been in the military for going on my second decade now, you know, you may be put in a job that is like completely foreign in a lot of ways to what you've been doing. I mean, obviously you're still in your service, you still, you know, have your same rank and position and pay and things like that, but, you know, just the nature of being well-rounded and the requirements of the military, sometimes you get thrown in completely different situations, right? So it's a little more extreme than most people, besides, I guess, you know, quitting a job or losing a job or deciding to just like shift completely career focus or what have you. I mean, you can self-select or be selected into these type of scenarios, which I think will be the benefit from a lot of our audience. But I was thinking about myself and, you know, going to work in a higher level staff. It's like, what are the things that I always know I experience, good and bad, and what are the things that I can kind of draw strength from, if that makes sense? And
yeah,
I think that I know it's helpful for me as an exercise, and hopefully it's helpful to other people. But, you know, anytime, you know, you have changes in your life, or you're dealing with stressors, or if you start to, I mean, as all people do, kids, adults, you second guess, you know, you have a confidence challenge happen. You start to wonder if you're good enough. You start to, you know, maybe be envious of other people that, you know, you think you were at a better stage in life than, and then, you know, through various things that you feel like you're falling behind. So I was thinking about, you know, what are the things that anybody can kind of derive a sense of strength or confidence from, right? It can't just be, you know, feelings, because that's where we get into trouble. And then we've talked about a lot with the Stoic philosophy, you know, things that we both, you know, like to study. And so I thought about, you know, for a lot of people that could be spiritual, you know, it could be, you know, your faith in God, your faith that you were put here for a higher purpose, the natural talents that you've been given that, you know, regardless of circumstances that, you know, you're good at, you know, some, you could say that that's a spiritual religious thing that, you know, God put you here with these gifts to do a certain thing. So it could be, you know, a spiritual, I guess, pillar, that you can draw confidence or strength from. You know, another thing is just, education, and that doesn't necessarily even have to be formal education with all the resources we have now. So I was thinking about, you know, things that you can do to make yourself better. A lot of things like we talk about on the podcast and we try to do ourselves, is one. I'm going to go through them real quick and then we can, you know, chat
sure,
about them.
Yeah,
but yeah. So obviously spiritual, you know, getting yourself educated in areas that can help your self-confidence, or you know, the job or the situation you're in. Obviously health is always, you know, a pillar of everything, because if you don't have health, you know, I know a lot of us, if you've had a nagging cough or, you know, some kind of sickness that puts you down hard, is frustrating due to timing or other things, it's like you can't almost think about what it was like to feel normal, you know, not even, you know, exceptionally good. But when you have a health challenge, you're just like, oh my God, I just want this to be over, whether it's a cold or something right. more chronic, you know, something more chronic is obviously worse. But, you know, sometimes you can't even fathom what it felt like, you know, if you got the bad flu, or maybe some of the people that dealt with COVID and got a bad case of it, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, what it was like to even feel good. So, I mean, health, you know, being able to invest in your health is always a good thing where you can, you know, draw strength and confidence. Last couple things that I, you know, came in my stream of consciousness list were, you know, doing good things for people, you know, volunteering, you know, helping people, good deeds. Those are always things that, you know, give us a better sense of thriving in our lives and in community. So that's just something that, you know, as I go through another kind of season and change in life, moving jobs, I think it's always a good exercise to say, hey, you know, why am I good enough? You know, why am I going to be able to do these things? And, you know, those are some of the things that I think could help anybody.
I think what you're talking about is the value in periodically taking stock, taking
For sure,
assessment
yeah.
of where we are and maybe what we've accomplished, or what our, you know, taking stock of our strengths and weaknesses. A couple of the ones that you mentioned, and I think, I guess what I'm doing is I'm agreeing that there is value in assessing strengths periodically and understanding, you know, getting your bearings that, yes, I have these things going for me. Maybe sometimes I don't have things going for me, but I have these certain things that are always good, like, or could be good, like your health, natural talents, you said, you know, things that you are always can rely on. Maybe, like you said, your faith. The ones I keyed in on when you were mentioning those were education, because I think that's something that can be a lifetime strength. If you can learn
sure.
to learn, if you can educate yourself constantly, you're constantly being upgraded, that which means you're kind of like a software program or a piece of, you know, you know how software always gets its, you know, the 2.0 version or whatever. You're always kind of upgrading, so you're never becoming the, you know, Atari 2000 or whatever. You know, you don't want to be the Atari 2000 in your life, right? You want to be the latest and greatest Xbox version if you can. And
For
then
sure.
the others you mentioned health, and I think fitness is something that somebody can get a great deal of strength from, both physically, you know, literally physically stronger. But they can also, there's a certain strength and emotional strength you can get when you're fit. I know the times when I've been most fit in my life, I feel supremely confident.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's something I think that's good to reflect on. And then I like what you said about deeds, because there is a great deal of, you know, peace of mind or strength that comes from knowing that you're living a life that has meaning and purpose. And that sometimes, more often than not, comes from the deeds and actions we take serving other people. So those are great. Those are great points.
Yeah, like I said, it can be a challenge, but I think that, like you mentioned, like just the exercise of taking stock. And I think that that's one of the things the military, either by design or how it's developed, it forces you to take stock, because, you know, in some cases you're going to have to completely reinvent yourself. And so I think, I had done this before, you know, leading, you know, people in the military, and I was trying to think of the word when I was jotting it down earlier and I couldn't, but now I just thought of it. And it was like, I think we called it an exercise in, you know, like leadership, self-efficacy, you know, just like, you know, the things that, you know, that you have as part of you that are sources of your effectiveness, or, you know, things that you can invest in to make you more effective. And so I think that, you know, we talk about efficacy of drugs and vaccines and things like that. So I think when I did this exercise a while back with my folks, I was like, hey, you know, if somebody asks you, you know, how are you a good leader, or what's your leadership philosophy, what do you say? You know, and it's a good attention gainer, but it is that kind of self-reflection, like, hey, what are these things that I draw strength from? And, right. And you know, how can I, you know, continue to do that? And if I have times of trouble or, you know, times of change, you know, these are things I can always go back to. So I thought that was a fun thing to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let me see. I guess I'm up next. I have a couple of thoughts that were triggered by our recent episode. Let's see, was this? This was episode 86. So a couple episodes back, where we talked about flow state. Mm-hmm. And for those of you, if you haven't heard episode 86, go back and take a listen to that. I thought it was a good primer on the value of getting focused and getting to a place of higher functioning by using, you know, we talked about various ways you can do that. But what got me thinking about that was, I'm in a place right now where I'm doing what I've heard described as a lot of deep work. Deep work involves a great deal of flow state. So what I mean by that is, here, for those of that follow me or in some of my other endeavors, you know, I do online coursework on health, fitness, lifestyle related topics, and I'm deep in the rebuilding process of courses that I have on various topics like diabetes and nutrition and competitive, you know, training programs for competitive athletes, different things like that. I'm deep in the flow state for that right now. And I don't know if how many people ever think about the concept of deep work. Deep work is this thing where, you know, you sit down, you're going to work on something, and you look up and 3 hours have gone by because you have entered a flow state with something you're very passionate about, and also something that, you know, you're just so zoned in on that the rest of the world goes by. But deep work also means work that requires you to get well beyond the simple, quick Twitter-based thought process. You cannot have simple, you have to be able to think through logically, you know, deep concepts, and be able to hopefully connect those into something else. So this is something that's vital for people that are creators, inventors, or anybody that really is trying to explore or learn something new and take it deeply into their psyche. And I think that, you know, that whole concept around meta learning, maybe we should do a whole series on the idea of meta learning, you know, that concept of high gear learning.
Oh, sure.
Because it's so important for people that might be listening to this podcast that are trying to get the most out of life. They're not content with doing what they've always done. They're not content with sitting on their laurels or skill sets that they've had since they were 18 years old. they're constantly learning and growing. And one of the things that I think is very important is having something that you're passionate about, preferably that serves other people, and something that can inspire you so much that you can easily get into flow state, see episode 86, and create, birth something for the rest of the world, if you will. And I've been deep in that place here for the last week and a half, and I'm working on a couple of major projects, one of which I know we're working on together, the you know, for the athletes and things like that.
Sure.
But any thoughts on deep work?
Yeah, I think I've, you know, another challenging but good thing about my profession is sometimes I'm forced to do something like deep work, even when I'm not ready for it, which is challenging. And then you have to do all the things like you alluded to and we talked about in episode 86 was like, you know, you can't always do it, but you can set conditions where, you know, you can do that deep work. It might not be to the point of a flow state, but it can set you up for success to do the thing that, you know, requires right. thought, you know, to do the thing that requires the deep thought. And that can be, I think, number one, is just setting time aside to be quiet and have both a physical and a mental location that you can go to be able to do it. And for different people, it's a different thing. I know we talked about there's some techniques, you know, taking a warm shower, trying to do it right after exercise where your body has a lot of, you know, positive hormones surging through, you know, yourself, obviously the blood flow and oxygen. But I think for me, the number one thing is kind of like anything else, you putting it on the calendar and being deliberate about it. Like I'm going to put, even if it's like 30 minutes, like I have to think about this one topic. Cause you think about, you know, our normal lives, whether it's work and family and juggling different stressors, it's like, if you don't put it on a calendar, like with a topic with 30 minutes, probably not going to happen, or you're definitely not going to get into that deep work or flow state. So I think number one is, and it could be a blank for getting started. You can say, hey, I've always been, you know, wanted to, you know, write a book, or always wanted to, you know, develop this idea about a business, or, you know, develop this thing I can tell my boss at work about that can fix, you know, these handful of problems we keep having with employee retention, or, you know, whatever. I mean, my daughter is always like, you know, wants to be a better athlete, but seems like she's always sub-optimizing, you know, her potential because of different things. So I think that for me, a lot of it, it's so important to have something that you're mentally engaged with like this, because I think it really impacts other areas of your life. And so I think that, you know, putting it on the calendar and making it a priority to just like schedule, you know, this time for stillness and reflection. It could be a topic or just I guess to start the exercise, it would be, hey, I'm going to put even 30 minutes a week, you know, on a day where I'm not, you know, busy, that I can separate myself from work and family and just say, hey, I'm going to sit there for 30 minutes and think about, you know, things that are important to me. And then it's amazing where ideas just kind of pop in your head and you start really going down that flow state rabbit hole and developing things that you didn't know were in there, you know, so.
Yeah, it's also interesting when you get into the deep state of work and flow, how much you can create in such a short period of time.
Oh, for sure.
I've seen situations where I created more new ideas, new content, new things to share with people within a matter of a few hours, whereas poking away at something a little bit here, a little bit there over a long period of time didn't, you know, create the same, you know, same thing. So anyway, just kind of a few thoughts on deep work, and maybe somebody that hears this, that'll trigger them, or maybe they will share with us some examples of how they get into deep work and how that affects them. What else you got, Chris?
So I think last topic I've got on my mind for the day is dealing with kind of the balance sheet of your life. So it you know, it can be tied into some of the things that we talked about today, but there was a quote I came across this week in a reading, and the quote was, "Believe me, it's better to produce the balance sheet of your own life than that of the grain market." And that was by Seneca, and on the brevity of life. And so the context of it is, he had a family member that was in charge of all of Rome's granary. And you can imagine, you know, it's a pretty important job when, you know, a lot of the food stuffs that were, you know, at that time, it's not like there was HEB. You could go to the grocery store, right. You know, a lot of it was, you know, the government probably kept track of, you know, these staples. And so that was an important job, but it was like a political, I guess, appointed position. And then he ended up getting it taken away from him. And so Seneca, you know, just giving his family member some reflection on it, he's just like, hey, you know, that kind of, you know, obviously it's not great that you had an important job that was taken away, but, you know, what about, you know, producing, you know, the balance sheet of how things are going in your own life? And, you know, it made me think about a lot of the things that seem important. And it can even be like, something that we choose, not even something as important as a job. But, you know, you think about, you know, people getting obsessed with certain, you know, hobbies or obsessing about the news, you know, things like that that are, you know, thrown in our face. But at the end of the day, you know, similar to some of the sources of strength I talked about earlier, it's like, you know, we take such, I guess, extreme passion about things, and a lot of times it's not even, you know, something, if you were going to take stock of your life, would be important. So yeah, I thought that was a good perspective, because especially now, as we're hoping that the world's getting back to normal, and some of us maybe that lost a job or, you know, getting our jobs back or getting, you know, more back to normalcy. So but regardless of that, you know, who we are in our families and, you know, who we are as a person and how we're actually choosing to spend our time is way more important than, you know, the minutia that we get caught up in. So I would think that, you know, similar to taking stock, like, you know, you made the analogy earlier about my first point, you know, this is probably, I guess, maybe even a higher level point, not just talking about, you know, where does confidence come from or whatever, but it's just like, hey, you know, in the grand scheme of life, you know, are we, you know, putting more in the column of things that matter versus spending time and energy on things that don't, which is really easy to do, you know, especially with modern society that we have right now. So,
yeah, right on. So this echoes a theme or a topic that I know we've mentioned and blurred into several other episodes in the past, but the idea of focusing on one's individual sphere of influence, mm-hmm. the immediate things you can physically or figuratively interact with in your life that you can actually change or impact. So that sometimes that circle is small and sometimes it's large, but everyone has a sphere of influence. And sometimes you can't control what happens around you. That's our old Stoic principle. And Seneca rightly points out to his, you know, family member there that, look, just focus on what you can do and what's immediately in your life. And that's, I give that advice a lot to troubled patients that are struggling emotionally with things, especially things that are not necessarily within their control. I see a lot of people that get wrapped up in emotional constructs in their own mind about scenarios they can do nothing about. And, you know, it's one thing to talk, it can be some interpersonal family problems, it can be politics, but there's a lot of situations that upset us terribly. Yeah. But we have zero power over the outcome of whatever that is. And I think it's very valuable advice for people to constantly look at any situation that's troubling them and say, is this something that is in my sphere of influence? And that's a healthy reminder you popped out that, you know, your own balance sheet, your own things that you can impact are more important than anything that happens to you.
Yeah. And I guess the last point I was thinking that I didn't mention earlier was there's a lot of things that we spend time on that if we really looked at this balance sheet of our lives, we would probably say, you know, should I really be spending that much time on that? You know, and obviously there's cool things that are distracting and relaxing, you know, with Netflix that you could never watch to the end of it. You know, so, I mean, sometimes you can spend time with your family or, you know, watching shows that you're at least having a reason to rally in the same room, which can be good. But I think sometimes, you know, it could even be a hobby that starts out as like a good stress reliever, but, you know, like golf is a good example. You know, a lot of people get obsessed with golf, and, you know, I used to play it off and on, but I think at one point I was just like, man, if you go out even just like one day a week and, you know, there's the whole ramp up with the tee time. There's usually some social time before and after. And then, you know, it takes like 3 or 4 or 5 hours to play. So before you know it, like most of your good working out or, you know, waking hours on that day are sapped by, you know, a hobby that, right. You know, there's some benefits. Obviously you get out in nature, you walk, you know, maybe if you don't get some exercise, you don't use a cart, but, you know, is it really worth for most people, or do you have, I mean, you know, that's why I think it might be a good retirement activity. You know, your kids are out of the house, you know, your spouse might be doing other things. So, but, you know, a lot of us, when we're kind of in the meat of our productive years, you just really have to, you know, balance, like, do I have the luxury, you know, or the money, or, you know, am I investing enough in my relationships where I can disappear for an entire day, essentially, to do this activity or to get better? And, you know, and it can be obsessive. You know, I know for me, like, sometimes when I get into training for a marathon or an ultra marathon, I got to be careful on how I time my runs and my recovery and maybe start way earlier, because, you know, a lot of times, and you know, getting into the marathon training that you did last year, it's like if you go out and run like 15 miles, one, that takes a long time, and then the ramp up and ramp down to it, you know, you might not be a productive member of the household for, you know, a good chunk of that day. So, I mean, you have to just, you know, I think it can be done in a healthy way, but if you start looking at it, the things that are important to you and priorities are the things you spend time on. So it has to, I guess, all be in its proper place. And I think that's like kind of the last thing I have to say about this.
Yeah, well, playing devil's advocate on that comment with the golfers and spouses of the world of golfers, there may be times in one's life where we want them to go away for like 4 hours at a time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
mental health break to get away for 3 to 4 hours at a time.
Yeah, well, and if you're doing that by design, like, hey, I know you need your alone time, honey, to go, you know, to go shopping, to go have coffee or a drink with the guys or girls. So yeah, I mean, it definitely can be healthy, but sometimes. If you're doing it to like escape, like I think there was a movie Old School about the guys that start the fraternity when they're like middle age, you know, and they're not even going. Yeah, so, and they're like, you know, I go play golf every Sunday, but I hate golf. I'm just trying to escape my family, you know? I mean, it could be good, but, you know, just watch your balance sheet of life, what you're spending time on, and, you know, spend time on the things that matter and are going to help you in the long run. So.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's wrap up, I guess. I really like these random shows. If you are a listener to the WFO Life podcast and you enjoy the random shows, leave us a comment. And if you really want to join the conversation, go to our website called Future Focus Health Network. If you type that in, it pops up. That is a specific network where we have a community, and it's called the WFO Life Tribe. So it's like a big health community there. There's all kinds of positive information. Feedback, nutrition, lifestyle topics, things like that. But it's a place where you can interact with Lieutenant Colonel Story and I, and you can chat with us about these topics, make suggestions, or just hang out and be a part of that conversation. So want to go ahead and also put a shout out to our courses section within the Future Focus Health Network. In that area, we have all kinds of things that can help you improve your health generally. Currently, there's several courses there. We have one for type 2 diabetics called Killing Diabetes. We also have one for sort of general health called Healthy Nutrition. And I think both of those would be, courses that somebody that's trying to get the most out of their physical health would probably benefit from taking a look at those. They're, you know, online, self-paced, and definitely something that, you know, health is something we've talked about over and over and over, you know, with regards to mastering self, mastering craft, and accomplishing any life mission. So hope you'll see us there. Check out the Future Focus Health Network. We will put in some links in the show notes. And Chris, as always, it's been a pleasure. I guess we'll chat with you later in the week.
Sounds great. Thanks.